B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning.
Hey, do you feel it? Are you just going to drop in random other guys' quotes now?
I mean, that one was longer.
Here's the deal. We were just talking about it at the break, a couple of breaks ago, and now all of a sudden Pat Egan's Gator. And he wants to be dropping.
One of the.
It had never been about that.
One of the more underrated comedies of the last.
I remember watching the previews and thinking, well, that's dumb.
Yeah, it looks so stupid, but it's hilarious.
And I watched the first couple of minutes of it, I was like, this is so stupid.
The whole conversation.
And I was like, it's got my attention, actually.
Whole conversation about when he comes up and it's the lion and a tuna, and he spins it on him. It's about 5 minutes of pure comedic genius.
Hey, don't go chasing waterfalls. All right? Don't go chasing.
Remind me during the break to tell you my waterfall story.
Well, I guess we are three guys of grouping of randos, basically. When it comes to the references, like for instance, I pulled the Golden Girls reference yesterday, which I'm still extremely proud of. I thought about it later that day and I giggled.
Give yourself a high five.
I did. I had patted myself on the back.
A little fist pump. Way to go, Mark.
Stand right on the way home. I was like, yeah, no one else doing that. No,
I did that about demon semen last week. I was like, I got to say demon semen on the air.
Good job, Jamie. You were peacocking around the office just being like, I got some demon semen today.
You were quite proud of yourself.
Marconi Awards, come on down.
And the award goes to James Lynch for demon semen.
The orchestra plays, whatever it is. Anyway, good morning, everybody, because you're just joining us here at 8 o'clock.
I want to thank the Academy.
I want to thank all the Marconis out there. Good morning, everyone. 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. We will be joined by Claude Giroux at 8:30 today. We've been talking a good amount of hockey today, talking a lot about the 76ers, what we want to see tonight, and LeSean McCoy, whether or not he should be back with the Eagles. He said in his introductory press conference with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the now Tom Brady Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that the Eagles and him, they actually had a little conversation there. But he decided that the Tampa Bay Bucks was the place to go for Shady. We would have liked to see him here in the Eagles running back room, being that they don't have a veteran running back. So we've been talking about that. But if there is one message today that we can make for Philadelphia sports, it's that the Phillies call up Spencer Howard.
Please, you cowards.
It's very simple. You do the math yourself. It goes without saying, even the fact that you have a doubleheader today, starting with 2 7-inning games, which I'm fine with. I really don't care. 7-inning baseball normally in any other season would seem very odd to me. But being that I'm really not taking this baseball season all that serious, do what you got to do. But as someone who is treating, as I will continue to call it this, a heightened preseason for next baseball season.
Yes, you got
to
know.
Do what you want. I don't care about the 7 innings. And you know what? Let me see what you have in Spencer Howard. Let me see what you have in Alec Baum. Let me see. All I want is good vibes going into next year. That's it. You know what? Give me a good, can you even call it a first half of the season with 60 games with Zach Wheeler? I don't think you can. But just give me a good version of Zach Wheeler as well. Let me know that I got at least a 1-2 punch in Nola and Wheeler. And then also let me know I got a number 3 starter right there. 3 starters is a hell of a rotation.
Look, players have fooled us before. Like, Rhys Hoskins may have fooled us some. Like, I don't think he's on a Dom Brown level. But we've seen players get hot and, you know, false hope and all that stuff. But you need to know if Boehm and Howard can be counted on for next year. Because, look, they're not winning squat this year.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it's probably going to be tough next year. You need to dramatically remake that entire bullpen. But you need to know if Boehm and Howard are cornerstone youth pieces that you can count on. And if you see it over 55 games, you should know, kind of. I mean, outside of a Dom Brown month of July type of situation, you need to know if you can count on these guys because you don't have much. Your farm system is more or less a joke. So you really need to know what these guys are, and you need to bring them up and find out, because you're not winning anything this year, so you might as well plan for the future.
Your hit leader right now, tied for your lead.
I don't know.
Just hits.
Oh, God.
For the Phillies right now.
2?
Adam Haseley with 5.
I need 4 in one game.
Yeah, go figure. Didi Gregorius also has 5.
That's right.
5.
Yeah.
And then Phil Gosselin has 4 hits.
Wow. Proud of Malvern Prep, I believe.
Phil Gosselin has 4 hits in 7 at-bats to JT Realmuto's 4 hits in 17 at-bats. So, really, any way you slice it, not looking too good for the Phils.
Can we just make Adam Haseley the center fielder every day and stop?
With Roman Quinn?
look, give him a, you know, one start a week, maybe two at the most.
Right.
But come on.
All right, but
Adam Haseley's won the job.
Right, behind all, you know, but those are all things that are behind the main thing, which is
Spencer Howard.
Spencer Howard needs to be called up today.
Yes, if he's not up by Sunday, is my deadline of rational versus irrational sports fan.
Is that when we get the Howell freaking Neto level of Jamie Lynch demanding?
Yeah,
demanding?
That's where we get the riot punch out and sleep out at One Citizens Bank Way until he's called up.
I have zero emotional attachment, but like it's invoking an emotion of anger.
Yes.
When you don't see a young guy who, by the way, 24 ain't that young anymore, but you have a guy who just turned 24 last month. He has an opportunity to make his major league debut in a season that, hey, you should make the playoffs, but the way the Phillies have been playing, and they've barely been playing at all, and I do think that that does take a toll on a team starting and then stopping again. So I don't doubt
that. Totally. That was a tough spot to be in on Monday
and,
night.
And so I get that, but again, as someone who's not invoking a lot of emotion in this, I am upset that if Spencer Howard isn't called up today, if Spencer Howard isn't called up by the weekend at the latest, then that's ridiculous. If they choose to have Nick Pivetta come in out of the bullpen, or they choose to have Cole Irvin come in out of the bullpen, I actually will probably lose my mind just as a natural reaction to it.
What's the counter argument for not bringing him up?
Well,
just that you can gain another year of control by not starting it this year?
I guess.
That's stupid.
So
what? We're playing for 2026.
Yeah,
what are we doing here?
Do you get the sense like Matt Klentak, he's got to be GMing for his job, right?
Yeah,
I mean, you would think that.
Because I would think his seat is pretty warm.
The number one thing that he'll be judged on is whether or not they sign JT Realmuto again. That's the number one thing he'll be judged on.
Oh, absolutely.
Because regardless of money, you gave up a prospect,
mm-hmm.
and what would amount to a year and a half rental, pretty much. So
yeah,
you can't do that. At some point, you got to make some kind of decision to make this team a hell of a lot better than what it is. And a third starter would help tremendously.
Yeah.
Getting another bullpen, getting a bullpen piece would be another start. I liken it to if a hockey team pulled a goalie for the entire third period. That's what it's like to watch the bullpen come in with any game where you might have a lead. That's what it feels like. It's like, oh, well, to hell with defense from this point on. Here's another home run served up right middle of the plate. Enjoy.
Damn you, McClain.
Belt high fastball, middle of the plate. Enjoy yourself, Anderson. Like in a season where you're going to face the Yankees so many times. Like,
well, that's the thing. The NL East is a stacked division, and then you play the Yankees.
Mm.
Good luck in 60 games. Good luck. Every loss is worth 2.7 in a normal season.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty close to being irrelevant.
All right.
And we're barely 10 games into a season.
Did you happen to see last night, they put up on the ESPN broadcast, I didn't even get a chance to watch the game itself, but I just flipped over just to get an update, see what was going on with baseball. And there was the transaction list for the Marlins over the last week.
19? Ultimately ended up being like 19 players affected up or down or...
Let me just say, I didn't know you could fill out a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet. I didn't know you could fill. I thought they would just go on forever. But no, you have a full list of transactions that actually were just yesterday. Don Mattingly said that he didn't even know some of the guys that were about to play for him. He said he at most exchanged a text message with them.
Wow.
And the next thing you know, he's like, I guess I'll put you in. What's your name? Hey, 34.
Hey, nice to meet you. I'm Donnie Baseball.
Yeah,
get in
right.
there, kid.
Yeah, you're going to go play some baseball today. So, like, I don't, you know, discount the effect it has when you have a lot of roster changes like the Marlins, or you have to shut down for over a week like the Phillies did, 8 days between games. But when you see that they have the doubleheader today, that they have all these games they got to fit in before the end of the season now, it is just nothing short of insane. So when you do start talking about bringing in another arm, that guy needs to be Spencer Howard. It doesn't need to be Nick Pivetta out of your pen. It certainly doesn't need to be Cole Irvin out of your pen. It needs to be Spencer Howard.
Absolutely.
Let's see what you have. Even Alec Bohm. Like, I want to see these guys up, see what they can do.
And forget us. Forget us as fans, as analysts, as whatever. Think about what it does for that clubhouse.
Yeah.
Like, that's a jolt of energy in there.
Look, Bryce Harper. Just listen to Bryce Harper. Whatever Bryce Harper wants you to do. Yeah, just do it. Assign JT Realmuto.
He's faced this guy. He knows what the kid's got.
Bring up Spencer Howard. If you have a guy who's a former MVP of the league, a guy that is a $330 million guy in Bryce Harper, you know, go ahead and give him a listen. You know, there's a reason you're paying him that money, because he knows what the hell he's doing. He knows what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah. I hope for their sake they do, because I don't want to see people outraged, and I think We're teetering on a powder keg situation here.
You know what? They're making me care. Damn it. I was really hoping I wasn't going to care at all.
Gotcha.
They got me. You know why? Because they pissed me off.
Yeah. Well, that's what they do because they don't have a farm system and they historically just suck.
We did request Matt Klentak about a week ago, maybe over a week ago, and they're like, hey, we're not doing one-on-ones right now. We're fine. I wonder how he would respond to, hey, Matt, I really don't care about your team this year, but it does make me angry that Spencer Howard's not up already and JT Realmuto's not signed.
Yeah.
But
your thoughts?
We'll keep our eyes on whether or not the Phillies choose to elevate a bullpen guy or over the next maybe 10 days here, or if they choose to just go down. And I think he should be up already, obviously. But if they do choose to go down to the minors to bring up Spencer Howard, their marquee pitching prospect right now, who absolutely dazzled, at least in the inter-squad games here with the Phillies, and dazzled Bryce Harper, certainly. 610-632-0975, hoping that happens today. The other thing we were getting into is LeSean McCoy, and whether or not he should be up or not whether or not he should have signed with the Eagles as opposed to the Bucks. LeSean McCoy has already come out and said in his introductory press conference yesterday that he got a call from the Eagles. They had a conversation. Nothing really came to fruition, obviously. And he signed with the Bucs. He thought it was a great opportunity to play with Tom Brady and those weapons in the offense. And as a 32-year-old running back now in the NFL, LeSean McCoy is not going to be asked to do a lot in that Buccaneers offense. You have a lot of other guys that are going to be going in there and basically carrying the workload.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have a lot to do there. He's going to be a nice piece to their offense. Would you have wanted LeSean McCoy back here in Philly? I absolutely say yes. I wanted him here. I didn't want him here a month and a half ago, a month ago, 3 weeks ago. But now, as training camp has started, the guys are at NovaCare. This is the situation where you say, this is where you entertain the idea of bringing in a veteran back.
Yeah, I thought a veteran back was going to happen. You know, they missed Carlos Hyde. They missed Devontae Freeman. Shady was kind of left on the scrap heap there. I did think a veteran was going to come in, but I'm not crying over a loss of Shady. Like, he's more than not probably toast. Like, he'll probably give you a couple games where you can still produce. But, I mean, when Andy Reid makes you a healthy scratch in the playoffs, that's a pretty big flag to me because, you know, obviously Andy, LeSean's near and dear to him, so that's a tough decision for him to make. So when he was left off as a healthy scratch in the playoffs,
but in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, those are pretty big flags.
Yeah, a little bit. But again,
you need a veteran in that room.
Exactly.
Because Clement, is we can't really count on.
No.
He's missed two straight years.
And especially when you talk about veteran.
He is your veteran.
Yeah, veteran? Like, he's 25 years. He's like Jordan Howard's age.
Yeah.
We need to look at Jordan Howard as some, like, big veteran back, you know what I mean?
I'm also not stressed about it either because I do think running back's oddly one of the easiest positions to replace in football.
I agree.
So,
but I'd also still like to see what Miles Sanders can do.
Yeah.
More and more.
You got to let the bird fly. Yeah. And he's the most exciting Eagle offensively outside of a quarterback since, you know, probably those young Shadys and Deshauns.
Yeah. The other aspect, though, is you are going to need more running backs.
Yeah.
Like, I know we talk about it all the time with a quarterback and you got to protect the quarterback and the offensive line. That's their main job. But I don't know how good this offensive line is going to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how good Andre Diller is going to be.
That Brandon Brooks injury, man. Every time I think about this season, that's just bringing me down a peg or two.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just such a crippling loss.
And you're going to have to, like, running backs have that short lifespan anyway. LeSean McCoy, 32 years old, is certainly, you're not bringing him in here for a boost.
Mm-hmm.
You're just bringing him here for some veteran presence, right? Bottom line is you're going to need running backs.
Yeah.
I don't know how, look, we always talk about needing a good backup quarterback, and the Eagles hope they have that in Jalen Hurts. We'll see. But you also think about the running backs that you could be going through, especially when we're already worried about one who has been so consistently injured in his brief career to this point, and that's Corey Clement. So I would have been, at this point, I would have been on the Shady train to bring him back to Philadelphia.
I would have, but not really.
It's not even for nostalgia reasons. It's like if you show me your resume and you don't have a veteran back in your room, then why not go get LeSean McCoy? And why not get that guy that's, 10,000 rushing yards already under his belt? Like, I don't even care that he's your franchise's all-time leading rusher. And your point earlier, Jamie, I think it's a good one. You don't want to have to bench that guy or cut that guy either.
Yeah, like, in the back of Howie Roseman's mind, I'm sure he's having this exact conversation. Like, all right, veteran, I can trust him picking up blitzes, you know, this and that. Great for Miles Sanders to have that kind of tutelage there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he's probably cooked. Do we really want to bring in our franchise's all-time leading rusher to then cut him if he doesn't have it?
You know what else is probably on his mind? If he cuts him or has to trade him or needs to move on from him, he's just like Chip. That's it. I think he wants to avoid that at all costs. So we'll continue that. We'll continue that conversation also. Would you have brought back LeSean McCoy? The Eagles apparently reached out, according to Shady. And it just didn't work.
According to me, every radio station in the country has come after me, Mark, you know?
Yeah, of course, yeah, naturally. They're hot commodity, Jamie.
That's not true.
And then at 8:30 today, we'll talk to Claude Giroux, the captain of the Flyers, as they drop the puck. It is finalized. 4 o'clock tomorrow with the Washington Capitals.
Yeah, day hockey.
It is weird. I will ask Claude this. It seems like it's like everything's TBD.
Yeah, so it came out yesterday, I guess around 3-4 o'clock. It was like, here's Thursday's schedule. And it's like, whoa, all right, cool.
When are you playing? Not really sure yet. Yeah. You know we play Thursday again, right?
Yeah, it's got to be weird. Is there a reason for it?
I don't know. Like, Pat, you grew up playing hockey, right?
Yeah.
Ice time's at a premium? Like, I don't know. can you use that excuse?
It didn't really make a lot of sense because at first I thought, okay, they're waiting to see what happens in the Rangers and Canes game because they're in the same bubble and... Then they came out with the schedule before that game even started. So, I have no idea.
Yeah, I think we're trying to find why this is all happening, what's happening.
It had been rumored that it was going to be at 4 o'clock. So, my guess is that the players had a pretty good idea before it actually got announced that they would be playing at 4 o'clock. But I'm interested in it. It's the whole learning curve of being in a bubble, I guess.
As I said before the break, there is something that...
Oh, excuse me. Devonta Freeman's still a free agent.
I thought Mozart signed.
Yeah, I thought Freeman had gotten picked up, but it appears he's still a free agent. So maybe he's the guy that they're bringing in.
That's okay. Interesting.
Maybe they're just waiting for the price to drop. I don't know. Okay. I just wanted to correct myself.
All right. The other thing that I teased before the break is this Colorado State story. And I was mentioning COVID in the NFL, and we all know about Doug Peterson. We hope he's still doing well. As of Monday, he was doing fine. Here's this Colorado State story, Jamie. Did you see this?
Yeah.
Apparently, like I say this, allegedly, there has been, and this is at the NFL level, at any professional sports level, I wouldn't put it past any team. I really wouldn't. As horrifying as that might sound, as crude, as crass as that might sound, I wouldn't put it past them. It's even more evil if it is happening at the college level.
That's why you should just cancel it now, because this type of thing is going to happen.
So if you haven't seen this story, Colorado State is being accused by players.
19 players.
And a lot of them are keeping their name. I don't think there's one name attached to it.
I don't think so, no.
But I know there's one player that spoke to CBSSports.com and just flat out said, oh, they're covering it up. Meaning they're covering up positive COVID-19 tests to ensure that their season... First off, happens, and then also happens on time. Other people are refuting it, saying absolutely not, as you would assume. People are lawyering up.
More than that, too, they're saying they're threatening their playing time if they're quarantined. They're altering the contact tracing reports so that practice can continue. Like, this is messed up.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with amateurs.
Amateurs, exactly.
Amateurs.
And for anyone who says it can't happen at the NFL level, I mean, just... It's much different case, but it's still handling something medically. Look how they handled concussions. Is that a bragging point? Is that a bragging point for the NFL? Absolutely not. Look at how all football has handled concussions. Not that great.
No. There was this movie about it.
Yeah,
saw, by the way.
You never saw Concussion?
No.
Yep. It wasn't...
Wasn't good?
I mean,
a decent movie, but bad message from the NFL.
You know how you felt when you watched Stuart Bradley stumble on the field against the Packers in that opener in the Kevin Cobb game? That clip is in the movie, and you basically feel like you're watching that throughout the whole movie.
It felt gross.
Yeah, it was weird. As a football fan, I'm like, I hate myself.
Yeah. I went to go see that movie the day that Chip Kelly was fired.
Oh,
so I went to go see it, and I came out, and then I came back into work.
Look, that's happening with pros.
Right.
Which is bad. I'm not just...
Yeah, and they're being paid, whatever, but still, yeah.
But at the college level, they're holding the scholarship over their head.
Yeah.
They're holding that over
their
head.
That's why you should cancel the season.
And let's not also forget, financially speaking, how much money does the NCAA and colleges, how much do the universities, how much do they make off of football?
Tons.
Supports their entire athletic department.
That's why they're doing this.
This is what I hate, though.
It's evil.
Like the NFL, all you need is the games. It's like, here's what sucks. It doesn't even have to be a good product. We're gonna watch.
We'll still love it.
Those guys have helmets and pads on, and they throw on a football around. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm gonna watch.
Yeah.
Like, that's how we operate. And that should be even more reason to not cover something up. I understand you want these guys to be out there on the football field, you want them to be healthy. I get it. But even if they do test positive, just follow protocol, whatever their protocol is in place, and just they can't play. You got to quarantine. You got to move them away from everybody else. As much as that player might want to play, they got to do what's best for everybody else. Get them away from those people. Have the next man up. You mean to tell me there aren't other people that want to play college football?
Yeah. It's a bad story.
And rosters in college, I mean, you think they're crazy in the NFL. Oh, my God.
Yeah. What do they have, 90 men on the rosters?
Yeah, 93, whatever it is. Yeah.
I mean, it becomes such a slippery slope with, and you're seeing it already before the season's even kicking off.
You have taxi squads in Major League Baseball. You can't do it in football.
Like, jeez.
Even more to what you've done?
You're going
to
start holding scholarships over kids' heads?
Yeah. So that's why...
That's twisted, man.
So that's what's happening at Colorado State right now. And then in the NFL...
Must be a real football guy.
Oh, jeez. I do love the people that are like, you got to be tough. Like, this is COVID. We're not talking about... What?
It's not a tough thing.
Are you talking about like a sprained ankle and playing on that? Because this isn't that.
No, it's not a toughness thing.
I can't give a sprained ankle to my grandma.
You're not tougher than a virus.
But then the Detroit Lions... So moving back to the NFL now. Did you see their announcement with Matthew Stafford? He was on.
No, I didn't.
Matthew Stafford was on the COVID IR. Mm-hmm. I don't think he tested positive.
But he came in contact with somebody.
He came in contact. But anyway, he was put back on the active. Here's what the Lions announced yesterday. Tell me if you could find a more convoluted thing here. Today we removed Matt Stafford from the COVID IR list and onto the active roster. As a result of a false positive result, he was forced due to NFL/NFLPA protocols to sit out until he received two negative tests. His testing sequence for the pre-entry period was negative, negative, false positive. The next three tests were all negative. To be clear, Matthew Stafford does not have COVID-19 and never has had COVID-19, and the test in question was a false positive. Also, all of Matthew's family has been tested and everyone is negative.
It's a lot of words.
There's a lot of things going on
there. I followed it, but long way to say he doesn't have it.
Pass protocol.
Yes.
He's back.
There's a high percentage of these false positives out there, so you do have to, you know, account and put that in the equation, but geez, just say he doesn't have it.
What the hell are we doing? What the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
610-632-0975. When we come back, 8:30, we will be joined by Flyers captain Claude Giroux. We'll take us in the Toronto bubble. North of the border, give us all things about his Philadelphia Flyers squad, and if he feels the excitement going on here in Philly for the Flyers. Also, after that, we'll have all the takes with Pat Egan. Time of the Fanatic, 8:22.
Farzetta in the morning. The Fanatic.
All right, just a moment, we'll be speaking with Claude Giroux, Flyers captain. Get the inside take on everything going on inside the bubble. It really does that, not so much as the NBA because they're in Orlando, Florida, but it's like if you played at any basketball camp or hockey camp or went to any sports camp, maybe band camp even, whatever it might have been, it seems like that type of atmosphere, and I applaud that. On the line with us right now, your 8-year captain of the Philadelphia Flyers, joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast, our good friend, Captain Claude Giroux. Good morning, Claude.
Good morning. How's it going, guys?
It's going great. It's great to talk to you. Can you take us inside that bubble real quick? What is bubble? We see it like throughout the NBA. What's it like in the NHL?
It's definitely a little bit awkward with all the teams staying in the same hotel. We have a lounge, so we play cards. We watch sports all day. There's basketball. There's golf. There's baseball. There's hockey on TV. So everybody kind of watches sports and... We bet on golf and kind of hang out, and it's pretty good so far.
So Claude, who are you taking in the PGA Championship this weekend, man? You got any sweet bets for me?
I only bet for Tiger, so
that's awesome, man. So you guys do have a lot of interaction then with the other teams.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me when I was a little kid. You go on a hockey tournament and. The whole tournament thing in one hotel, and you're going through the lobby and you kind of see other players. It's pretty awkward. It's definitely different that you play a team and then you get back to the hotel and kind of see them again. So it's definitely pretty unique.
I'll say this, Claude. I think what this has done for me and a lot of other people is it has made you guys more than athletes. It has made you guys. Because, you know, people look at athletes and they're like, oh, well, he's a professional athlete. He gets paid millions of dollars, you know, whatever. But it has really humanized you guys, you particularly. And I know Sean Couturier just had a young daughter, if I'm not mistaken, just born. You have a soon-to-be a one-year-old son, Gavin, that you're away from right now. What is this experience like? How are you guys trying to stay in touch with your families?
Yeah, that's really tough. We try to FaceTime as much as possible, but you know how it is at that age. They get occupied pretty quick, and they don't really look at you on FaceTime. So it really sucks, and it's tough. I mean, we're planning being here for a long time, so it on that part it's been really tough, and we have a lot of fathers on this team too, so everybody's kind of struggling with that.
I'll say this, Claude. That's a cute kid. Looks like dad. Just going to say it. Just going to tell you. Speaking with Flyers captain Claude Giroux, the other thing here is, you know, you mentioned being there for a long time, and we all hope here as Flyers fans that you are there for a long time, because that means, you know, a deep run, as we all know. Is there any similarity? I mean, you were a 22-year-old kid, you know, just making your bones in the NHL when you guys went to the Cup Finals. Do you see any similarities with this team versus that, you know, Chris Pronger, Captain Flyers team?
I've been asked that before, and, you know, I do. I think just the depth of the team, I feel that we have a lot of tools. We have a lot of players that can make a difference every night. And, you know, like the last game we had, Michael Raffel ends up having a great game, and that's what's been happening all year long. It's everybody kind of does their job, and somebody steps up every game, and just everybody can just focus on their job and not try to do a little bit too much.
Yeah, Claude, one of the guys that steps up seemingly on a nightly basis is 22 years old, and he's your goaltender, Carter Hart. Have you seen this guy get rattled ever? Can you just talk about what a steadying of the ship he has been between the net or between the pipes this year for you guys? And how inspiring must that be to the locker room to see a kid like that taking this next step?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. I mean, since he started playing with us, he's been pretty mature goaltender, and usually takes a goalie a little bit more years to kind of stay set in the NHL and kind of be able to dominate like he does. But now he doesn't get very frustrated, and only time he gets frustrated is when I score him on practice, and I let him know.
Good for you. Now, when you talk about comparisons to that team, like, what are your expectations? You said you plan to be there a long time. You want to be there for a long time. When you guys talk as a group, I mean, there's a lot of excitement about this Flyers team right now in Philadelphia. First off, I hope you guys feel that in Toronto. And second, is that same excitement amongst you and your teammates?
Yeah, we know we have something special here. You know, a lot of teams say that every year, but we do believe that the way we're playing, we're well coached. Everybody's buying in. We're all on the same page, and we're having fun doing it too. So we're going to be playing some good hockey here. There's a lot of good teams that are still in, and you know, we had a chance to watch the other teams, and it's the intensity's up. It's good hockey, and we know if we want to play for a long time, we're going to have to play some good hockey.
You mentioned the coaching here, and I did the numbers here, Claude. It's 8 years you've been the captain, and in those 8 years, you've had five head coaches. Alain Vigneault is your fifth head coach in that span. Does he compare to anybody else that you've played for? And it looks like his style of hockey certainly lends itself to the way you play.
Yeah, I mean, he's it's hard to compare coaches. Every coach, they coach their own way. But I think our coaching staff has been great for us this year. They prepare us for whoever we're playing. We know what we're facing and what we can do to beat them. So when you go in the game and you know what to expect, I think you can prepare yourself to know what you're doing out there. And I think that's what's happening right now.
So, albeit pretty early in the bubble, you guys have played a couple games. The commentators were talking the first game about the ice being a little sloppy, a little slower. You know, it's getting a lot of use up there. What's your you know, feel of it up there? Is it any different? Is it the same? Is it faster, slower? What are you guys feeling on the ice?
I think it depends what time of the day we play. I mean, if you play the first game, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, there's no fans, and the humidity should be fine. But when you got the third game of the day going, that's when the ice gets a little chippy, and we haven't had a chance to play at night like that. But I think when you're going to be the third game, I think you're going to have to play a little bit more simple, and because the ice might be a little chippy.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Flyers captain Claude Giroux, Oscar Lindblom has been someone that we've all been following, and you guys have teammates have been phenomenal on and off the ice for him. I know he's going to rejoin you guys in Toronto. How much are you looking forward to seeing him, you know, be with you guys?
Yeah, we talked about Oscar yesterday, actually, and you know, he's a big piece to our team. Not only on the ice, but off the ice, he's if you have a chance to meet him, he's one of the best guys in hockey, and he's been through a lot this year. We're trying to get him here in Toronto as fast as we can, and you know, he's not only a great hockey player, but just as a guy and the way he was all year, being so positive, and the kid can fight, and you know, we're pretty lucky to call him a teammate.
When it comes to how you guys are playing, you know, in the restart and all that, does it feel like the legs are still working their way in? Do you guys feel like you're in midseason form? Basically, as a team, how do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, the first game we played against Pittsburgh, I got caught in overtime there. My legs weren't really working the way they should. And, you know, we're slowly getting our legs back. You can be in great shape, but to be in game shape, you actually have to play games. So, it's been two games now. We're starting to get our legs going. And, yeah, at first it was a little scary, but, you're going straight in the playoffs. You gotta be, do the best you can to be ready to skate like everybody else.
Claude, what do you think the ceiling is for Ivan Provorov? He's been having a stellar season. What do you see from this kid every day in practice?
Yeah, he's a really good hockey player. He's just a machine. He'll play 30 minutes if he has to, and he won't even break a sweat. So it's pretty impressive how he brings it every night, and he's playing some great hockey since September.
Mm-hmm. Claude, our regular co-host that works with Jamie and I here, Bob Cooney, has what you might call a bromance or maybe a man crush.
Well, you know, TK doesn't really know it, but it's a one-way street.
Just a warning, if you could just let Travis Konecny know, if you ever see somebody hiding in the bushes, it's probably Bob Cooney, our co-host. How has he been in the restart as well? Because he was one of the, like Sean Couturier, yourself, Voracek, he was one of the guys that was hitting a great stride in the middle of this season. How do you guys pick up where you left off?
Yeah, that's one thing. You know, we have momentum. He was playing very well for us all year long, and but I think in general we have momentum, but we need to get that back. And the last two games have been great for us. We've been playing great, and we're just excited to keep it going here.
Now, it's unfortunate, but it is true, and I know that you guys have gone through some great transition in your captaincy, still looking for that first round, being able to get out of that, and then a second round of the playoffs. Do you feel that pressure, or you just try to go out there and play hockey?
Yeah, I feel that pressure, but, you know, you want to feel that pressure. You don't want to, you want to go as far as you can, and, you know, the last 8 years or whatever has been, we haven't been successful in the playoffs, and I mean, that's not a secret. So I think we take it to heart, and personally me, I really take it to heart. So for us, it's an opportunity for us. We have a good team, and we just believe in ourselves. So hopefully we can go as far as we can here.
And what you definitely don't get enough credit for, two more things for you here. What you don't get enough credit for, Claude, is that you play through injury. You don't miss games.
I think that's a good question. I can't put my finger on one.
Well, I will say you just said shoot, right? That was shoot. So you don't know. That was just to clarify for people. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. It's a no. It's a no.
Oh, that's great. Oh my God. Just had a little thing there with the mic. Claude, last thing. So we had that Travis Konecny fella on a little bit ago. We had asked him who would win in a fight, you or the captain, Claude Giroux. And we just want to, so you don't think that I'm making anything up. I just want you to hear how that exchange went. Here it is. You think you would win a fight against your captain. Is that true?
We had that discussion, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I actually challenged him on the spot and he turned it down.
Oh! Wow. No, your captain turned that down?
You can do the math there.
Okay, so that was Travis Konecny answering that question. Claude, I know that chemistry's great. Everyone loves each other. That's wonderful. I don't want to put a quarter in the angry machine, but how would you respond to what Travis Konecny said?
I'm just lucky that he's my teammate. he's such a great guy. He's the best. I was lucky enough to have 100 points because of him. He told me after him 100 points that he says, you're welcome for your career year. So, you know, I'm just blessed.
What a captain answer.
Claude, I know the media circuit isn't exactly your favorite thing in the world. I can't thank you enough, not only for coming on with us, but as a guy who's been rooting for the Flyers my whole life, man, I know the sacrifice you guys are making. You know, our kids are like 2 weeks apart, and I couldn't imagine what you're doing right now, man. God bless you. Thanks so much for coming on with us. Best of luck in the bubble, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I just want to say hi to my wife, Ryan, and Gavin. I know they're listening, so I just want to say hi to them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hey, Ryan. Hey, Gavin. I saw Gavin's first career goal on the old Instagram. So
he looks like a machine already.
Oh, yeah, he's ready to go. He's already mucking
and
grinding.
He's got great hands already.
Claude, thanks so much, man. Really appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, see you, Claude. Claude Giroux joining us right there.
What a captain answer about TK. keeping that chemistry going.
I got to say, that's the best hockey answer I've ever gotten.
Great.
we all, you know, we love our Flyers.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, if you're getting textbook answers, usually it's from a hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
For him to go the route of such a great team, and like
sarcastically,
you can hear the eye roll. That was great.
Yeah.
And Ryan, if you are still listening, his lovely wife. I take on the responsibility of you having the kid. And
yeah.
The
good on you.
Dad's away.
That's not easy for anyone.
And she also posted, and I believe my response to this was, who's chopping onions?
Mm-hmm.
When she was like, last day together, daddy's got to go chase his dream.
That got me in the feels. Because of my daughter's not much older than your guys' kids. And I can't imagine. That's got to be so tough. Because as you know, every week, it's like something new and amazing that they're doing. That's got to be brutal.
Mm-hmm. I also love the idea, and Firebug is hitting us up on Twitch, and I had the same thought. You want to feel that pressure?
That's a great answer.
I appreciate a guy like that doesn't want to shy away from those moments.
No.
And
he knows what it means to this city.
He knows what it means to the city. He knows what it means for his own legacy.
Absolutely.
He does get it. And he does do work in the community as well with the Claude Giroux Foundation.
That's how you guys struck up a friendship.
You
helped him out with his charity.
Got to know him. Yeah, I don't want to paint a picture.
You're best friends.
Yeah, I don't want to paint a picture that we like watch Will Ferrell movies together.
He probably should thank you for his career year.
Seriously, where was
I'm hearing it.
Where was that?
You want to fight Travis Konecny.
You know what? Who's say I haven't already?
Next year's Fan Fest. Look out.
How did Travis Konecny score in the first game back? He had me on his mind. That's why. He was too afraid.
Wow.
That's right. I'm the guy that's, on the... I've been intimidating.
I didn't know you had that power. That's impressive.
I don't. I'm just trying to play along to what you guys were saying.
Trying to be a hockey guy.
I will say this much. That's exciting. Now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's jump into, right now, All the Takes with Pat Egan. Pat Egan, what do you have for us?
Hello.
Hello, Patrick.
All right, so this is arguably the biggest power move in sports. I don't care what side of the aisle you fall onto. This is awesome. Players on the WNBA's Atlanta Dream showed up for warmups yesterday. Now, they're all donning matching shirts that said, Vote Warnock. The Warnock they're referring to is Raphael Warnock, who is running against Kelly Loeffler for Senate. You might be asking yourself, why do the players even care? Well, it's because Loeffler is the co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, and she's come out against the Black Lives Matter movement. So, basically, the players are like, oh, okay, you want to come off against us? Go vote for your competition. Now, look, once again, I say this. I don't care what side of the aisle you fall into. The fact that they're telling basically the community to vote against their boss because they can't stand her so much.
It's a power move.
Power move by the women.
That's wild, man. That's wild.
This was all started by Sue Bird. She kind of got everybody on the same page there. And I've always loved Sue Bird. That is a power flex right there.
Yeah, man. What else you got, Pat?
All right, a cool moment. All of a sudden, I can't talk. I got Mark Farzad on the brain, just like
Travis connecting. Obviously.
A cool moment in Seattle as Mike Trout returned for paternity leave to home
Very
his
cool.
first game as a dad.
Wow.
Dad strength
running wild. That's one thing we didn't tell Claude. We should have been like, dude, the dad strength. You guys don't, no one stands a chance. You guys can pick up
too many babies on that team.
Exactly.
Jamie, do you remember your first home run in softball after Skyler was born?
Yeah. I tattooed it right on the sweet spot.
Actually, one of the most angry times I've ever seen. The most angry I've ever seen Jamie Lynch is he had hit a deep fly ball to a center fielder that was playing way too far back and caught it. And then his wife was like, why do you get so upset?
Oh, my God.
So I was like, he was respecting me too much. Who plays me that deep?
And Jamie looks at her and she's like, I was a college athlete. This is all I have. I played a beer league softball league in Mania.
This is the only competition I've left.
There is nothing worse than the, why do you get so upset?
Why do you get so mad?
Because they don't realize it gets us even more upset.
Yeah. See, it's like telling her to calm down in an argument.
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. Hey, relax. Yeah. Oh, that goes well.
I don't like sucking at sports. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
All right.
By the way, I do want to say this. The last thing I'll say about Claude is that I called him Claude Giroux forever. And then when I did meet him...
You got to put some stank on it.
Well, I just have this thing. If I meet someone and they tell me their name and they pronounce it a certain way, I pronounce it that way. It's like, you know, like I met Michael Franco. He said his name was Michael Franco, so I went Franco for the rest of the way. When I met Claude, he went, I'm Claude. And I was like, well, I guess it's Claude now.
Yeah.
There you go. Not that he changed his name. I just didn't know how to say it
properly. It's kind of like when we had Taryn Hatcher in studio and she pronounced Hawaii.
No, she didn't say Hawaii.
She did.
No, she did it. Not. No, she. I know how she said. I know how my dear friend Taryn Hatcher says Hawaii. I'll text her and just tell her to call. She probably will do it.
Yeah. We'll just settle the debate.
We'll just have her say it.
She's not busy with all of her friends.
Not wishing them a happy birthday.
Exactly, as she had mentioned yesterday. Anyway, proceed.
Really bad look for college football yesterday. You guys kind of touched on this earlier. Colorado State players claim that they were told to withhold information on their COVID symptoms so the season wouldn't be lost.
Imagine, what are you doing? These are amateur athletes. These are guys that most of them aren't even going to be in the NFL. 99% of them aren't even in the NFL. And you're making them pay, but so you can make money and they can? Really? Stupid is what it is. As we talked about earlier, this is what I was worried about really in all sports at any level, even if guys are compensated like they are in the NFL. A cover-up? Yeah, no thanks.
Well, and I touched on this yesterday with Tennessee asking their players to sign a waiver to come back. Now, Tennessee had to take that out because the SEC knew that it was a really bad look. And I implore everybody out there to go watch this month's Real Sports because they did a really good story on this whole.
I haven't seen it yet. Wow.
It's really good. Yeah, okay. They go into, they have actually, Chris Hinton, who was the guy who was traded for John Elway from the Colts, mm-hmm. the former offensive lineman. Well, his two sons, one goes to Stanford, one goes to Michigan. And they interview both Chris Hinton and his wife about how absurd it is that they don't even think they're going to have classes in person, yet they're being forced to take their kids back to go play football,
yeah,
a contact sport.
Wow.
And they interviewed the commissioner of the SEC, which I give him credit for doing the interview because I wouldn't have, but he just comes off as so tone deaf when we all know, yeah, you're doing this for one reason, and that's it's cream. Cash rolls everything around me. Cream. Get the money. Dollar bills, y'all. Moving on.
No, on that note, real quick, a buddy of mine's an administrator at a school, and he was just talking to an athlete, and then just, you know, your regular student, whatever, at a high school, local high school, and it's just absolutely insane what these people have to go through right now, because it's like a lot of them are offering the virtual, learning, and it's like, if they don't go to school, they can't play sports. And it's like, how do you hold that over their
head? Yeah,
it's ridiculous. I'm not saying that's a blanket statement across the all sports.
No, but...
But, like, how do you... That's like, wait... You want me to, like, double the odds of me getting
this? Like, if Alabama goes completely virtual this semester and the football team's required to be on campus or they lose a scholarship,
that
becomes an issue.
It's insane.
And I love college football. I mean, Temple football, it's my Saturdays in the fall, but it just doesn't make sense. All right, and finally... Huge day for our industry, guys. This is our Today in History segment.
What happened?
Let's travel back to 1921, Mark.
To 1921. Real humdinger.
Where radio legend Harold Arlen called play-by-play on the first ever baseball game broadcast on the radio. Phillies beat the Pirates that day.
Wow. 1921?
Whoa.
I would have thought.
Whoa. The Phillies were the first radio broadcast.
Yeah. Phillies were the first radio broadcast, and they were the first night game. At Wrigley.
At Wrigley, yeah, yeah. That I knew. I didn't know they were the first radio broadcast.
Yeah, I actually did a project in college about this guy.
That's amazing! Look at that!
Stupid me. 1920 was the first radio broadcast ever, so it only took a year.
Yeah, KDKA.
I thought it was, I thought it was before that.
In Pittsburgh.
Only took him a year to get to baseball. That's good work.
I believe that's the station that broadcast the game. The KDKA.
Can we look up that broadcast? Is it on YouTube? Is the guy talking like this?
3-2 pitch.
Is there steak and eggs playing in the back time? Little old ragtime?
He could throw a pork chop past a pack of hungry wolves.
But not past pork chop at shortstop.
All right, yeah, no, this segment needs to end up.
No, but it's your segment, Pat.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's
you,
why I'm
you fading us down this
good
awful
job.
Road.
Nice work.
Oh, sure, blame me.
How dare you?
Real foxhole guy you are.
Travis Konecny is a great teammate. He does everything right.
I owe everything to him.
Right. Best team I've had since Yamir Yager. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. We come back. What about this? We're not necessarily going to go in the NBA bubble, but we will go into that territory for conversation when we talk to our own Devon Gibbons about the 76ers tipping off today against a team they should blow out in the Washington Wizards. That's coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic. But you know what? I do like them 10-9-8 76ers. I do really like our basketball team in the bubble tonight against them, really 4 o'clock this afternoon in the bubble, taking on Washington tonight. I really like them, and that's why I'm betting them with Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Download the app if you haven't done that already. It's my team, my home team at Parks Casino and Sportsbook. They deliver every single time. Parks Casino Sportsbook is absolutely where it's at. Whether you want to go into the casino, they got room for social distancing. They're doing that as well. But right now, if you like some action tonight, do it with Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The number one casino in all of Pennsylvania, back in the app. Look, don't leave your money and sports bets to a faceless overseas company or one that is going to leave you just, you know, by the wayside and forget about their customer. Trust Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Just go with my guys right there. My hometown team. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet from up to $500. Yeah, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parxcasino.com/PA and use promo code FANATIC to get your risk-free bet up to $500. Their website has all the details, parkscasino.com, and your risk-free bet will be refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.